you know, it just so happens that you can take every verse from this psalm, and you'll find it in some other places all over the scriptures, either from the Psalms or from Jeremiah or from Numbers or Deuteronomy, and you'll find it, and you can piece it all together from pieces and parts of the rest of the scriptures, which is kind of cool. Now, we don't know who wrote this particular psalm, but I like the way it was done. In that, you know, I'm always talking to songwriters who want to write songs for church, you know, that we would sing. And the safest thing you could possibly do is just take scripture and put music to it. That way you don't get weird. And there are plenty of weird songs out there. And so as we look at this psalm, you know, every part of it had something to do with other parts of the scripture. So, and this is all about praising the Lord and why. And so, anyway, so let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for tonight. Thank you for our lives. Thank you for dying for us and rising from the dead. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for providing everything we need up to this very day. Thank you, Lord, that you have never left us nor forsaken us, and you never will. You have always been good. And we want to just receive that tonight and come to grips with your goodness, Lord. So pour out your Holy Spirit on us that we might learn and that we would be drawn closer to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, O you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure. Now, this is definitely directed specifically to Israel. You and I can relate to it in one sense, and that it reads in Romans chapter 11, that we are grafted into that vine. And so we can, as it were, claim some of these promises to ourselves for sure. but also to take the exhortation as well. First of all, the first two verses, to praise, by the way, is, well, naturally to speak well of, to praise, but in the Hebrew, it means, you know, to shine, to put forth and to shine. It's a longer definition than that. The definition for the Hebrew word praise goes forever on all kinds of different angles and such, but obviously the main thrust of it is to praise, to speak well of the Lord, to speak well to the Lord, about the Lord. And so we are to praise, first of all, praise the name of the Lord. We know, if you've been around here any longer than a couple of months, you understand that whenever it says the name of the Lord, it doesn't mean the sound of his name, like what his name is, be it Jehovah, Yahweh, Jesus, Yeshua. And, you know, a lot of times we think that we say that name, that there's some kind of magic to it, but not so. When it speaks of the name of the Lord, it speaks of his character. And so when we praise the name of the Lord, we are praising him personally for his character, for who he is and the great things that he has done. the servants of the Lord, those were the Levites, those who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts. In the house, that would be the Levites and also the priests, which were Levites. But in the courts of the house of the Lord were the others. And so this is just all-inclusive, is the whole point. And all of Israel praised the Lord. And the reason we praise the Lord is not because there's, where is it? Oh, yeah, in verse 3, the last little phrase in verse 3, sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant. Certainly, praising the Lord is pleasant. It does something to us. It is something that is pleasing to us. But that is not the primary reason we come to him. And I say that because too many people today, and that I have to deal with even when I went down to Peru to teach the worship class and the worship conferences, too many people today are just, they're into this for some kind of a feeling they can get out of it. You know, oh, I'm going to praise the Lord, man, because when I praise the Lord, it feels great, and I'm going for this, man. You know, I just, woo, I'm going for an experience. You know, I think it was some flyer for a worship conference recently sent to my email. Said, you know, get ready for an incredible worship experience. And I think, whoa, wait a minute. We're not worshiping the Lord so we can get an experience. But we are worshiping the Lord because we've had an experience. And that experience is that of coming to know His love, coming to know what He has done for us. And notice, we praise the Lord not to get anything out of it, but we praise the Lord because we've already gotten something out of Him. And we're responding to His goodness. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. That's why we praise Him. And when we are praising Him for His goodness, for His grace, His mercy, everything that He has done for us, what happens is, it is pleasant. Why? Because the Lord desires intimacy with us. And when we're singing to Him because of what He has already done, yeah, you may very well experience His presence. You may experience just feeling good. You know what? Generally speaking, doesn't it feel good to praise somebody because they've done well for you? Doesn't that feel good just to even say to somebody, man, you really blessed me. Just to say that. And so, there's nothing wrong with that feeling. It's natural. But that's really not why you tell somebody, hey, you really blessed me. The reason we tell people, hey, you really blessed me, is because they really blessed you. And then what comes of that, will, you know, is what comes of it. But I experience good feelings when I'm telling people that they've really blessed me. And so it is with God. You tell Him, Lord, You've blessed me. And it just feels good just to be talking to Him, telling Him how great He is. And so while it is my tendency to overcorrect for all of the weirdness that has gone on and what in the church today with what we call worship, the overcorrection isn't doing us any service. And that is, like, no, you don't have any feelings. Don't enjoy this. This is all for God. You know, no, it's plain here. It's pleasant to praise the Lord. So we praise Him because He is good, and it's pleasant. Also, here's another reason we praise Him. Oh, no, I'm going to have another sneezing fit. Hold on. Whew, I think I'm not going to. Yeah, Mark got to see the mother of all sneezing fits earlier tonight. Okay. there are many reasons to praise Him, but look at verse 4. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for Himself, Israel for His special treasure. Jacob and Israel are the same. We know that. He was named Jacob, and God changed his name to Israel. And so as it is with Hebrew poetry, the thoughts rhyme, not the sounds. And so the thought is, God has chosen Jacob for Himself. And then the next thought rhymes. It says the same thing, just in a different way. Israel for His special treasure. Israel had every right in the world to worship God, or every reason, every logical reason to worship God, because God chose Abraham, and He chose Isaac, and then, of course, changed Jacob's name to Israel, and had a plan, and implemented His plan with these people out of all the people in the whole world. And He didn't choose them because they were great. He had to tell them a couple times, I think, in Exodus chapter 23 and Deuteronomy chapter 7. He says, you know, I didn't choose you because you were bigger in number or greater than anybody else. I chose you because I love you. There's no other reason. And so, and it's a hard thing for us to grasp why you know, he would choose Israel, but he chose them in order to save the world. He was going to use them in that. And if you're wondering how that all works, read Romans 9 through 11. And Paul just tells the story and pieces it all together for us to understand that and how that works. But you and I, who have been grafted into that vine, as we know that Israel rejected their Savior, and so the Lord turned his attention to the Gentiles, which would be most of us, that we too have been chosen. And just for that, we should praise the Lord. You know, we can get off on all this thing about, you know, some people believe that none of us have a choice in this and that we're chosen even against our own will. I don't buy that at all. I believe the Lord gives us all that choice. But understand that when we give our lives to the Lord, that's when we realize that in the choosing of him, that he had chosen us. And you would think, even as we talked about this morning, what is man that you are mindful of him? But, you know, but who am I that you have brought me this far? What? Why did you choose me? And certainly God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That would be you and me. But he loves us, he chose us, and we will live for eternity with him in glory. And that alone, if the rest of this life here, from this point until we are with him in glory, from here until then, if everything is torture and suffering, who cares? We're going to live with him in glory forevermore. And we should be praising him for that. Israel for a special treasure. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, God tells them that. And it's also transferred to us as believers in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that we are his special people, a peculiar people. And that it's not so much even that he's just chosen us. And certainly maybe some of you do feel like you were chosen by God, you know, sort of like the last guy was chosen for basketball. It's like, oh, okay, you, come on. No, it's all right. You can play. It's okay. Come on. No, you are a special jewel to him, a special treasure. As Bridget and I were visiting some people one time, a long time ago, and it was so funny. they wanted us to see their collection of, I don't know, like diamonds or something. It was or rings or something. It was really funny. And she went into a room and she went and got out this box and opened it up. All that was missing was the music. Da, 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 you know. She opens it up, you know, and shows us. And then she tells us about each one of these. Says, this one came from such and such and such and such. This one's real special because this, this, and this. And this one. And it was so funny. She was telling us all about them. I'm going, yeah, I mean, that's cool. And then she closed it up and brought them back to a safe place. The Lord calls us his special treasure, his jewels. And he keeps us in a safe place. He is watching out over us, taking care of us, protecting us from harm. He's got a story for each one of us too. We're all in the box. You know, opens it up, shows people. Says, see this guy? I like him because. Ooh, this one. Ooh, this one was hard to get. This one was, you know, and it's so awesome. And so the thing is what God thinks of you is so much more than we can even grasp. It really is. That he would go so far as go to the cross to find you. That he would suffer and die to find you. For these reasons alone, we should praise the Lord. If you have trouble praising the Lord, I know why, and I would like to welcome you to the club because we can all be a part of this club. And that is because your attention and your heart, your eyes and your mind are on things that just don't matter. You're on things that are not going to last. But if we set our eyes on the things that last forever, if we set our focus on Him, as it reads in Isaiah 26, verse 3, He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. Then we're going to understand praise from the heart. We're going to understand praise with understanding. We're going to understand that. And then in a moment, like we're going to be singing here, in a moment of what we would call the time of worship, if we're willing to focus on Him and what He has done for us, the praise is going to come out naturally. Praise also, praise and worship. I made this up myself while trying to figure it out. You and I sing songs at church. We call that worship. But a lot of what we do when our singing of songs is not necessarily worship. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but we know that Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 is that we encourage one another with songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. So part of the singing, what it's doing, it's encouraging one another. Even that the call to worship, sing praise unto the Lord our God. So we're reminding each other, why? For He is great. And all His works are mighty. And so as we sing those words, we're singing them to one another. So that song really is not worship. And I know I'm sitting here splitting hairs with you guys or getting all semantic-y on you. But I think it's important that we understand and that maybe we could actually have some really true times of worship. But so there's part of singing. It's good in church tonight. In the mornings, whenever, when we're singing, it's okay to encourage one another. Also, part of singing, I've noticed that many of the songs we sing, I'm going to sneeze again. I can't believe this. Oh, it's just getting so... What's growing in this church? Is there something growing in here? What's that? The fake trees? And the fake pollen getting up my nose? So... the other thing that happens is supplication. You and I are singing and we're asking God for stuff. Now, it's not bad that we're asking God for stuff because that's what we do. And He wants to hear from us. But we're doing it with the songs. And so, okay, for instance, we have songs say, open the eyes of my heart. Or say, change my heart, O God. What great, wonderful prayers. These are awesome, and I believe we should be singing these. But I have concluded and have decided that true praise and worship is a time of intimacy with God. It is a time of prayer that asks for nothing, but is just there to tell God how wonderful He is because He's already given us everything. That is a time. I'm telling you, who's sneezing over there on my behalf? Was that you, Kayla? Oh, God bless you. Thank you. Actually, this mindset that I'm just kind of sharing with you, which I had no intention of sharing with you tonight, it's really kind of the bottom line of the things that the Lord was sharing with me while I was in Peru. And then in choosing some of the songs that that I would sing, which I didn't get to choose very many because it was all in Spanish. And so they got to choose the songs. I had no idea what they were singing. But But how wonderful to just to sing a song that tells the Lord, hey, I love you. Or to sing a song that, hey, I praise you. You've done so many great things for me. And to just come to him in the very presence of God Almighty and say, I'm not asking for anything right now. I just want to take some time to tell you thank you, to tell you I love you and I'm praising you because you've already given me way more than I deserve. Man. I felt like I met the Lord all over again as I came to him with that attitude. And again, you know, some of the songs we're singing, I don't know, I gave the list to Mark, but yeah, they're going to be asking for things. That's not a bad thing. So I want you to understand that I'm not bagging on the songs that ask for stuff, unless the song is asking for an experience. Oh, Lord, let us feel your presence here today. You know, like, nah, we don't need to do that. Because what that is like, Lord, I'm coming here for one thing. I'm coming here because I want to feel what I want to feel. No, when we pray and ask the Lord, when we sing and ask the Lord, may we sing and ask him to change our hearts and make us holy. To draw us to him, draw us near to him. To bring us to a point where we hate sin as much as he does. We sing songs like that, we're going to be singing right in the center of his will. But when we're saying, oh God, give me another great experience, I think we've crossed a line over into, like, this is all about me. But when we're singing to him, I think it should be all about him. I'm funny that way. So anyway, here's the deal. We praise him because he's good. He saved us. He chose us. He made us his special treasure. We are his special treasure forevermore. We are the joy that was set before him. We are the reason that Christ took each step toward the cross, why he set his face toward Jerusalem, where he knew he was going to be killed. It's because of you, because of me, because he loves us that much. And what else is there but to praise him? I'm looking at those angels. I think it's chapter 5 of Revelation. But you know, when John sees those creatures up there with all the eyes and all the funny faces all gathered around Jesus. And they're bowing down to him. And all night, all day, they sing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. But they do this all day and all night. They keep praising him. Why? Isn't that going to get boring? Isn't that a boring job? Are they saying to themselves, you know, I know when I signed up for this gig, it sounded really good. But right now, I am just, you know, it's getting old. It doesn't get old. Let me tell you why it doesn't get old for the angels who are bowing down and worshiping Jesus, even saying the same thing over and over again. It's because every time they look up and see him, just that revelation of his beauty. Remember we've only seen the edges of his glory. This morning we talked about that. But to see him in his full glory, what else can you do but throw yourself on the ground? And say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And then you get up, and there he is again. You have to do it again. It's a reflex. There's nothing else that we can do in his presence. And that each time we see him, it is even more of his glory. Well, the angels aren't asking him for anything. The angels just look at him and go, oh, Lord, you are amazing. Holy, holy, holy. They they don't look at him and say, you know, Lord, you're great. Can you give us that really good feeling again? No, it's just all about him. All about him. Anyway, so we went too far on those four verses. Let's go on. For I know that the Lord is great, That's another reason we praise him. We know he's great, and our Lord is above all gods. Or supposed gods, right? Of all the gods of the pagans and such, there are countless gods, countless idols. You know, they had no power. And so the fact is this, I know the Lord is great, and I know he's above all those gods. Those gods are embarrassing. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasures. He's talking about naturally the weather and the cycle of the rains and just how he keeps this planet spinning. Which, by the way, it was kind of a jab at the Canaanite gods, and as many of them were given the credit for the weather and such, as they would worship Baal and do things to this imaginary god to try and get the weather to behave the way they wanted it to. But the writer of the psalm is just saying, you know, God's the one who makes this world spin and makes the weather happen. He does whatever he wants. Notice, he does whatever he pleases. Why? Because he's smart and he's God and it's good what he does. But notice something, whatever the Lord pleases, he does. Contrast that with the other gods. Contrast that with idolatry, which we're going to see here tonight. The idols, they don't do anything. They just sit there. They don't do anything. But God causes all things. Now, if you want to look at these verses and just say, oh yeah, but that's just kind of the weather, you can attribute that to whatever imaginary god you want. The world's always been doing that. And say maybe an atheist would even come up with that. Like, oh, you silly Christians. You believe it. Okay. Let's read on then. He destroyed the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. He sent signs and wonders into the midst of you, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and all his servants. Okay. It's a historical fact that the Israelites lived in Egypt as slaves before they were brought into the promised land. God miraculously released them by making a mockery of the gods of the Egyptians. As the Egyptians believed so many things of the power of cows and frogs, and you know, they worshiped the river, they worshiped the sun, and all such things, they God just went in there and just mocked them. And in that theater, so to speak, of Egypt, God fought with their gods, and it wasn't even fair. Not fair at all. And so while we can say all the weather patterns, all that, you know, God did that, and somebody could say, oh, come on, the weather is just what it is. Okay, can you explain the 10 plagues of Egypt? Can you explain how the Israelites escaped slavery? Not only had they escaped slavery, it had been promised to them that they were going to be in Egypt for a time and then brought out and then brought into the land of Canaan. It was written, it was prophesied, and it happened. He defeated many nations and slew mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land as a heritage to Israel, his people. And again, that had been promised to them. Although Sihon and Og, those guys, those weren't really promised to them, but they got their land anyway. You read in Numbers chapter 21 that as the Israelites were coming through on the east side of the Jordan, they said, let us pass through. We're just going to pass through. We're not going to hurt your stuff. We're not gonna. And the Amorites and Bashan, those guys, they wouldn't let them through. And they fought with Israel. And so Israel beat them up and God gave them their land. So God gave the land that he promised and some to the east of the Jordan. So God controls the weather, God controls the universe, and he controls the little things like these people who were enslaved in Egypt. And he gave them exactly what he told them he was going to give them. This is why they praise the Lord. And this is why you and I praise the Lord. And that when you and I were saved from slavery to sin, he put us right where he said he was going to put us, born again, in holy places with him. A new life, a different life, eternal life. It's given to us. And so we praise him. Your name, O Lord, verse 13, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, throughout all generations. It's kind of a, you know, yeah, God was very famous in those days when he had delivered the Israelites. In fact, they had the, you know, the people in Jericho were trembling in their boots, right? When the Israelites came in, and Jericho was the first stop on their tour through Canaan. And they were just trembling in Jericho. They said, I know about your God. And then the Gibeonites, they were very nervous. And so they sent some guys to Joshua and disguised themselves as people from far away and said, when you get, you know, we get to our people, don't hurt us. And he says, well, where are your people? Oh, we're far, far away. He goes, oh, don't worry about it. We're not going after people far away. We're going people right here. This is what it is. But you got it. We'll protect you. Found out that the Gibeonites were the next place. Why I bring all this up is that these people were so afraid and they knew about the God of Israel. They knew that no matter what the Israelites did, they won. And they knew that these were miracles that only God could have pulled off. I mean, think about Jericho. How silly is that? March around the place 7 times. Walls fall down, win the battle. That was a God thing. It wasn't a people thing. And so, God's fame is throughout all the lands, throughout all the generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will have compassion on his servants. Now, you know, in the context here, and as you look at Hebrew poetry, I don't believe this is speaking of judging his people in the same manner that he's had to judge his people, say in Exodus chapter 32, when they're dancing around a golden calf, where 3,000 of them died that day at God's hand. But, or how judgment begins at the house of God. You know, while that's a very good point and something we need to think about, and that is that we know more, so we are responsible for more. And the Lord will judge us according to what you and I know, so we better walk with him. But that's not, I don't think that's the context of this verse. I think what he's saying is that he will judge on his people's behalf of all the nations that have come against them, and that he will favor them. Why? Because the next section of it, in how Hebrew poetry works, he will have compassion on his servants. And so the judgment is to judge in their favor and to have mercy and compassion on his people. And the fact that truly the Lord judges in our favor and has compassion on us, that's another wonderful reason to worship him. He has given us so much. Now, let's do some contrast. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear, nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them are like them, and so is everyone who trusts in them. I love that stuff. I want to go find some sort of a pagan idol temple somewhere. And go somewhere where they got a bunch of idols. I don't know, they'll probably kill me for this, but I just want to go there and look at their little idols and like poke them in the eyes. Wouldn't that be fun? Let's go, poke. Say, look, they can't see. Boom, boom, boom. It can't defend itself. Meanwhile, they're defending their rock with the eyes on it. They'd probably beat you up and kill you and all that for being so mean to their special rock. But you see, that's how stupid idolatry is. They have to protect their God instead of their God protecting them. And so there it is. I didn't get the reference because I knew I was going to go too long tonight anyway. But, you know, as Isaiah says, you know, that this is what they do. They cut down a tree. They get a log from that tree. And they take this log and they cut it in half. With one side, they burn it in the fire and use it as fuel. The other side, they carve it into a something, and then they prop it up, and then they worship it. You know, my thought is always, oh, boy, I hope they got the right side of that wood. You know? How amazing. But the thing is, it's like man will always be more powerful than the idols he creates. He's already exercised his power over this inanimate object by drawing pictures on it and chiseling it. But now suddenly, all right, now you are my God. Man, and people believe these things have power in them. They really do. And so the psalmist here just brings up the absurdity of all this. I think it says the same stuff in Psalm 115 too. Just this whole business of they got eyes, they can't see. They got ears, they can't hear. They can't breathe. But you see, whatever you worship, verse 18, is what you will become. And if you're worshiping a stick or a rock, you will become as dumb as a stick or a rock. And that's all there is to it. We all worship something, and as a result of that worship, we become like whatever that may be. And that's where you and I want to become, like the Lord Jesus, of course. And then finally, bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. This is just an exclamation of what God has done. And when you and I are willing to stop all this swirling around in our heads and get our eyes on what God has done and how much He loves us, where He's bringing us, His promise to us while we're here, we're just going to want to worship Him. And you saw there in verse 3, I think. Sorry, I already closed it. Sing to the Lord. As I had said, singing is the singing as we sing to the Lord. All of that's not worship, but it is, it's all quite valuable. And the Bible has told us to sing on several occasions. And we do it because He deserves it. We do it because He has already blessed us. And when we are willing to sing to Him, we do experience that praise is pleasant. And so what we're going to do, we're going to sing to the Lord now from our hearts. Father, we ask You even right now to clear our heads of worry. Clear our heads of all the stuff that is just clogging up the works in there. And Lord, we ask You to give us a supernatural view of everything You've done for us. Lord, may we come to You tonight with thankful hearts, ready to praise You and to worship You because You have already blessed us. And how amazing it is, Lord, You intend to continue to bless us tonight and tomorrow. But Lord, tonight we do want to sing to You because everything that You've already done. How amazing it is that You love us the way You do, that You see us as those precious jewels. Oh Lord, help us to just come into Your throne room and to worship You because of who You are. and what you've done. Oh, Lord, we do praise you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.